Chapter 5. Vicky was almost home when the familiar yellow bus from Irving Middle School lumbered past her and hissed to a stop at the corner of her block. She winced at the loud clap of the doors opening. A second later, Danny stepped out along with a few other kids.
"Yo, pizza face, drop them video games and pick up some soap," yelled a thick-necked boy out of a window near the back of the bus.
"Yeah, he need a wash with Brillo or something," another kid chimed in.
"Brillo," someone repeated, "that's cold."
A roar of laughter erupted behind him. Danny blushed with rage.
"Man, shut up,"
he hollered as the bus pulled away in a noisy cloud of smoke. Vicky hated that other kids teased him, but whenever she tried to talk to him about it, he avoided her or changed the subject. And the last time she stood up for him, Danny had gotten upset and told her to stay out of it. The problem had gotten worse since he started middle school, though Mom and Dad seemed too distracted to notice. At least he had his friends, she thought. Boys like Mario and Javon who lived nearby. Before Dad lost his job, they used to come over after school to play Doombringer and Street Warrior on the game box. Danny was always the best, calling himself T-Bomb when he played. He would joke about how he let them win for a short time, and then he would explode, like a time bomb, and beat everyone. No matter how hard she tried, Vicky couldn't touch him. His fingers were a blur on the controller. On the screen, he was invincible.
"You should call yourself T-Dork," she would tease, "'cause sooner or later, that's what we're all gonna call you."
Mario and Javon would laugh along, sneaking glances at her backside when they thought she wasn't looking. Vicky pretended she didn't notice. "Little sixth-grade dogs," Teresa had called them when she witnessed their wandering eyes. But lately, since Dad was home more, they avoided her house. Instead, they hung out at Mario's apartment with his older brother Felix, while their mom was at work. Danny was there most days, too. Anything to get away from the stress that filled their house, she figured. Vicky wished she could escape, too. Martin's apartment was just a few doors from Mario's.
"What are you looking at?" Danny asked as she approached him on the corner.
She realized she had been staring at him.
"Nothing. I'm just thinking, that's all," Vicky said, pretending she hadn't heard what the kid called him or noticed the three painful-looking pimples that dotted his chin.
"Mom asked you to come straight home, too?" she asked.
"Yeah," he grumbled, hoisting his navy backpack up on his back.
In the bottom corner, she noticed a tiny drawing in black magic marker, a sphere with a lit fuse on top. The fuse was drawn in detail with sparks flying to show it was on fire. Underneath, written in tight block-style letters, was a word, T-Bomb.
"Why'd you draw that thing on your backpack?"
"Don't worry about it," Danny replied, adjusting the pack so she couldn't see the picture.
"Whatever," she thought.
They walked down the street in silence, careful not to make eye contact with the older kids on Union Street or the guys who yelled things out to Vicky as they passed. Within minutes, they were home.
"Abuelo?"
Vicky called as she opened the front door to their house. The TV was off. So were all the lights in the living room and kitchen. Danny called out, too. No response.
"Abuelo,"
she repeated, raising her voice. She remembered that his hearing was failing.
"Abuelo!"
"Sí, estoy aquí," came a faint reply.
"I'm here."
His voice came from the closed door of her bedroom. Vicky sighed with relief. The only thing that could make the day worse was if Abuelo hurt himself, especially while she was supposed to be watching him.
"Are you okay?"
"Okay?
Yes,"
he answered in English, but his voice didn't match his words. It seemed weaker than usual, almost pained.
"Can I come in?"
Vicky asked. She heard her grandfather sigh.
"I'm okay," he repeated. "I don't need help."
Then she heard a dull thud, followed by the sound of something sliding on the carpet.
"What's he doing in there?" Danny asked from the edge of the hallway.
Vicky shrugged.
What if he fell again? She wondered.
Last time he slipped, he cracked his hip and lay on the floor for hours, unable to get up. Since then, he had never been the same. Most days, he was sore and stiff and shaky on his feet. Mom said he was too stubborn to admit he needed help. That was why she insisted that he move in with them. Vicky imagined he was on the other side of the door, stretched out on the floor, hurt but unwilling to tell anyone. I have to make sure he's okay, she thought to herself. Danny seemed to agree. He waited at the door's edge, nodding to her as she turned the doorknob. Inside, Abuelo was sitting on her bed, his eyes puffy and red. His shoulders slumped when he saw her, as if he had given up whatever he had been trying to hide. Niña, he said, gently wiping his eyes. Mira, look. Vicky scanned the room and noticed her bed was covered with old photographs, many of them yellowed with age. See how beautiful? He said, carefully picking up a framed black and white photograph he had placed on her nightstand. Just like you. Vicky's eyes locked on a woman in a flowing white dress. A delicate veil gracefully draped her curly black hair, framing her face. Her arched eyebrows were just like Mom's. She seemed to gaze from the photo, as if she knew a journey of years lay ahead. Next to her stood a handsome black-eyed man with his hair slicked back. Vicky thought he almost looked like an old-fashioned movie star. His arms gently encircled her. His palms rested lightly on her forearms, as if he was afraid to touch her too strongly. Is that who I think it is? Danny asked. Abuelo nodded somberly. That's our wedding picture, 56 years ago. God bless her, he said, pausing for several seconds. In the silence, Vicky could almost see the thoughts racing through his mind. I was supposed to go first. Not her, he added, his eyes glistening, his hands trembling. Abuelo, what do I do now? He asked, looking to each of them and then back at the picture, as if he was talking to it, waiting for an answer that would never come. What do I do? The air grew heavy and silent. Vicky didn't know what to say. She wished her parents were there, that Mom could step in and comfort him somehow. Unsure what to do, Vicky put her arms on his bent shoulders, hugging him. She could feel her grandmother's chain tug at her neck. For several moments, no one said a word. Abuelo, is all this yours? Danny said, then pointing to an open suitcase at the foot of her bed. She could tell her brother was trying to change the subject. Yes, I was unpacking. Must keep busy, he said, his voice calming. Mira, he added. He wanted them to look at something. Vicky turned and noticed more framed pictures. A stack of old envelopes tied with string and two musty shoe boxes. One of them was open. Inside were piles of color photographs she recognized. A picture of herself graduating from kindergarten. Danny at his first communion. A family shot with all of them at the beach. I remember that day, Danny said, pointing to the beach photo. Dad was on his knees in the sand holding each of them on his shoulders, his arms curled like a weightlifter. Me too, Vicky said, recalling how Dad's pale back had turned bright pink with sunburn. But it didn't stop him from scooping them in his arms and carrying them into the water. That day, Dad had taught them to body surf, something he said he had learned on the beaches of New Jersey, where he used to go as a child. I'm scared, Danny had said when Dad first took him in the water. Don't be scared, buddy. I won't let anything happen to you, Dad replied. I don't want to do it, Vicky had said, but Dad convinced her to try it once, telling her that if she made it all the way to the beach, he would get her some ice cream. It worked. Vicky could still remember the rise of the waves as they reached their breaking point. the foamy push as they crash down, rocketing her forward. Her brother laughed so hard, salt water came out of his nose. Mom had teased Dad that his skin was so white, she needed sunglasses to look at him, and that he had turned their kids into little beach bums. They responded by splashing her with water until they were all soaked in sandy. Was it the last time she had heard her parents laugh together? What happened? She thought to herself, studying the photo. It was as if she was staring at something that was gone forever. Something she could never reclaim, no matter how much she wanted it back. An ocean of sadness stirred inside her, its invisible waves breaking as she glanced at the photo. She dropped it back in the box, as Danny and Abuelo flipped through more pictures. She wanted to be alone, to go somewhere and forget about the photo. Abuelo's sadness, the fight with Teresa, her worries about her parents, the problems with Martin and Steve. But there was nowhere to escape. She didn't even have a bedroom. Ring! Vicky jumped as the phone's ring blasted through the house like a car horn. She glanced over at the clock. It was 3:42 p.m., the usual time for the calls to start coming in. Danny didn't even budge. Lately, they almost always ignored the ringing, just as Dad told them to. Ring! You answer? Her grandfather asked, gesturing toward his ear. The answering machine will get it. It's probably for Mom or Dad anyway, Vicky explained. Ring! When he was here earlier, your father did not answer either, Abuelo noted. Dad was here? Ring! Sí, Abuelo said. He was here for lunch. We ate, and then he left in a hurry. Moving too fast. Vicky figured that Dad was looking for work again. Maybe rushing to get to an interview or something. The phone finally stopped ringing, and Vicky listened as the answering machine picked up. A second later, she heard an electronic voice leaving a message. This is an urgent call regarding a past due account, the voice droned. Vicky knew the next part of the message. She had heard it all before. It started over the summer when their cell phone company started calling about unpaid bills. Shortly after, all their wireless phones were shut off. Now other companies called. Credit cards, banks, collection agencies. Vicky had gotten used to the calls, but she knew Abuelo might worry if he knew bill collectors were calling. She rushed to the kitchen to turn the volume down on the answering machine. Immediate action is required in order to prevent... Vicky silenced the machine, her face hot with embarrassment. Dad had told them a while ago to ignore the messages. But what about Abuelo? She hoped with his weak hearing and with Danny talking to him, he hadn't heard the message. More than that, she just wished the calls would stop once and for all. That's not gonna happen, she thought. Without a word, she escaped to the living room, flopped on the couch, and turned on the TV. The screen filled with a garbled image. The TV hissed with static, as if it was cursing at her. Great, she mumbled, flipping the channels. None of them worked. I can't believe this. What? Her brother said from the bedroom. The TV's out, she said. You serious? He said, walking over to the TV and messing with the cables in the back. Think we should call Mom? Vicky shook her head, realizing what the problem was. Next to the answering machine was a stack of bills. Many of them were unopened. Some were from the cable company. She had seen them for weeks. She was sure their service had been cut off because they hadn't paid their bill. No, just wait for Mom or Dad to come home, she said, clicking the TV off. Silence filled the room, making Vicky feel trapped. It was as if the walls of their home were closing in on them, as if each day the rooms got smaller and smaller. Yet she was powerless to stop it. A burning acid taste crept into her mouth again, the same one she had felt whenever her parents were fighting. Clunk! Vicky looked up to see Abuelo's shoulder nudge against the door of her room. He grunted with effort to keep his balance, his hands white-knuckled on his walker. He was trying to reach the bathroom. Instantly, Vicky rushed to his side.
I don't need help. I'm fine, he huffed in Spanish, struggling to maneuver the walker into the hall.
I'm a man, not a baby.
Vicky ignored his words and her own pounding headache as she helped steer him across the hallway. He labored with each step, a sight that made Vicky cringe. Danny watched nearby, shaking his head at what he had seen, as if he was in pain too. Abuelo closed the door and Danny sighed, heading into the living room. Vicky walked back across the hall to her room, scanning the picture still on her bed. Her grandmother stared back from her wedding photo, young and frozen in time, blind to what was happening to her family.
Maybe it's better that way, Grandma, Vicky said, resting her hand on her neck chain. In the distance, she heard the sound of electronic gunshots. Danny was playing Doombringer again. Behind her, the bathroom pipes creaked. Abuelo was washing his hands. He would need her help again any second. Vicky closed her eyes and tried to rub away the pain in her temples and relax the queasiness in her stomach. But it wasn't working. She couldn't shake the feeling that her whole world was unraveling right beneath her feet.